we should get started with the podcast in some way, shape, or form.
Let's
we've already done 15. What are you talking about?
So, actually, I wanted to take a second because the episodes that I'm currently putting out and posting on iTunes are fairly old. And the episode that we recorded originally is actually coming up very soon in that rotation.
Which is a year and 12 days ago.
Yes. Was it a year and 12 days?
Actually, no,
still
that's
hasn't
correct.
Come up yet.
It was June 10th. I mean, January 10th. So that's a year and a month and 4 days ago.
There you go.
Not that who's counting.
No.
Jesus, you're a math savant, aren't you?
No, I just
looked she's
it
a married
today.
Woman is what
I'm
she
married,
is.
So I remember dates.
She remembers every single date.
I remember
it's
everything.
Her magnificent memory.
I have a superpower memory. So yes, that's very exciting.
So
this
I
is
actually,
the first time it's going to air?
What I wanted to do, well, here's what happened.
I'm worried
is that
about
a year ago
it.
When we recorded that, yeah. I had restarted my podcast. I put a couple episodes out, but then I got so busy with Ben Comedy and life and everything like that, it just kind of fell into the back.
Happy problems.
But, yes. But I kept recording podcasts as comedians were coming through because it's fun. And so I have this whole backlog and archive of all of these great episodes, and yours is one that is coming up next. So I wanted to see if you guys wanted to record the intro for that podcast now.
Right this very second?
Yes. Right this second.
Let's do it.
You can
you
clip this out and then...
Yeah.
And then
what kind of intro do you want?
I pretty much apologize for putting it out a year late.
Okay.
And then I pretty much just say, hey, this is a great podcast with these people. Listen up.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You're about to hear from two happily newly married people.
The He and She Show.
And then ask yourself, what happened to them? Because they turned into us.
So this is us from the future right now.
We are from the future.
I'm sitting here with
future.
Doug and Teresa Wyckoff.
The He and She Show.
A year wow. later. So nice. The episode that you're about to listen to, we recorded January of 2014. And you guys are back February 2015.
Yes.
Hopefully we can keep that up every year.
Every year. We'll air that one in a year.
We'll just keep airing
one
the same
month
one.
And 4 days.
Yes.
And then we'll do another one. You know, I was so hopeful back in the 2014s, mm-hmm. the Januaries. I'm excited to hear the things we talked about. I feel like I said embarrassing things that I asked you to erase. So
maybe.
We'll see if they became erased or if we're still embarrassed or
we've
if I don't
care anymore.
We've
done a lot since that podcast. We toured across the country
That's
and moved
true.
To New York. And
oh, yeah. We were living in Florence.
A lot of things have changed in that year's
yeah,
time.
A lot of things. The child doesn't live with us anymore. He's like grown up.
Ugh.
I know. We did 3.5 months across the country,
getting
66
old.
Shows in 41 states.
That's amazing.
And we live in Brooklyn, New York now.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. All right. Intro.
All right, so to bring us out of this intro.
Bring it.
What would you say to January 2014 Doug and Teresa?
Wow,
that's so.
That's really deep.
It's like for her time travelers. I would say you feel like you're stuck in a small town right now, but it gets better. You get out in the real world, and it's big and beautiful, and you meet lots of comedians, and it's going to be really fun for you.
I'd say it's going to be okay. Everything's going to work out.
Everything's
and
real
enjoy.
Stressed out at that time for your aim.
You can even let me finish my saying if you have to interrupt me. Just stop talking for 1 second.
Pass, Doug. It'll still continue.
Slap her early and slap her often.
Well, she's like,
teach her not to behave like a proper woman. Start the training over again now. That's what I would tell
Wow. Like a southern plantation owner.
You gotta go where you gotta go. Who is this blue-haired boy in my house?
No, I think we should wrap it up. Would you like to say anything else?
I just wanted to tell future Doug, enjoy the ride and enjoy the moments.
You're talking to past Doug,
take a breath.
Future Doug.
I don't know how this works. I'm so old now.
then we have people listening to this in the future that we are from now. Yeah,
so this is going to come. The what we're talking about now is going to come out in a year from now.
Hopefully, this one will be out in less than 2 months.
Let me talk to 2 months from now, Teresa.
Okay.
2 months from now, Teresa. I hope you have some money. I really, really do. I hope you have some money. All right, that's all.
Cover his head with a pillow when he sleeps.
Can I give a message to Sean?
Please.
So I just started listening to the podcast.
The Comedy Northwest podcast.
One, but also the NPR one about the guy that's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I on my way here, I just finished the penultimate episode. So I hope he gets out.
Saying
he's talking to himself in the future.
It's going to work out, Sean. He'll be fine.
It's fine.
That's all I have to say.
That's not even a message for yourself. That is just you being hopeful to future you.
The damn like vegan him is what it is.
Hope, though.
But won't future you already know the outcome?
That's true. Future you knows.
You could,
tell something to
if future anything,
you.
You're just you're giving yourself false hope now to future you.
Sex and positive
future
Sean
you is looking
McBride.
At you right now
that's
thinking
his new name.
He is so hopeful. He wants such great things for this podcast. But future you knows the truth.
But I don't.
So
but there's no way, Ryan, that he could tell future him something that future him that would be new to future him.
Well, actually, did future Sean record an intro to this episode we can listen to?
I have no idea at this point.
This is like a podcast.
Couldn't we prove time travel by like saying like in leave money in a certain drawer from the
leave
future?
$500,000 in my pocket, and if it's here in the future, then we know time travel is real.
Oh my gosh, look what I found, right?
$500,000.
$500,000.
We did it, future Teresa.
Gosh,
okay, I feel like we're
all right. Yeah, I feel like that intro has trailed off at this point.
I do too.
That's
I'm glad that we both agree.
Yes.
Ryan.
I think all right, enjoy the episode.
So there. Anyway, listen amazing. To it. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to rock your world. And if I say anything,
you should probably listen to that one.
She's afraid of microphones.
Oh,
no, I'm not.
It's adorable.
He's creating a new psych. I have enough.
It's a phallic problem she has. It's like, oh,
can't do it.
Too much.
I can't do it. It's too much.
She had a bad experience one time.
Well,
many times.
Only if they're black microphones. Those are the ones that are so
we
scary.
We request no black microphones.
Should we put a pillowcase over it or something?
Yeah, just make it.
Oh, it's like home now.
It's oh, that's eyes. So racist. I almost said something really, really. I mean, that's pretty racist.
And then
kapoof. The whole other level.
I think this is a good start. Welcome to Comedy Northwest Podcast, everybody.
Were we recording that?
God, yes. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's good stuff.
Let's send it directly to your mother.
Okay, are we live now? Let's go hot. Let's be friendly, the Disney version.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to Disney.
Disney.
I just saw
there's
a
lots
thing
of
about,
hidden penises
right?
in Disney films.
There's lots of phallic symbols in Disney.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
also scare me quite a bit.
Oh, there's so many things
so
that go back. I think that there's a lot more things that look phallic, not meant to be, that a lot of people point out.
Like the Washington Monument?
Yeah. Well, yes.
If you spend enough hours researching it like I have, you can find them in there. Slow motion.
You like the phallic?
Oh, yes. I look for it in every picture.
Wow. I'm a little concerned, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah. If you go online and you type in, like, Disney...
hidden penis?
Subconscious, whatever. Like, it'll point out things in different...
Usually it's my favorite is DisneyHiddenPenis.com XNXX.
Wow. Sounds like a really creepy.
Oh, XNXX. What's one of my favorites? Yeah.
Right. I mean, I've never looked before. I've just heard.
But it's your favorite.
I've heard.
Animation porn. I love it. It's really weird, though, with The Little Mermaid.
Well, it's weird how you like to watch me watch.
Is that what you guys are into?
Her and a small hand watch porn. Get the small hands down.
I watch him watch porn, and then the dog, she watches me watch him watch porn.
It's a bestiality thing.
We do what we can. Whatever works. He's getting older, so we got to do what we can.
So I'm sitting here with Doug and Teresa Wyckoff.
Hello.
Married couple, as you can tell from the way that they're talking at this point in time.
Obviously.
Married for 5 months?
I think six now.
Six now?
Yeah, you keep saying five, but 6 solid months as of... What's the date today?
Today's the 10th.
So the 7th of January was 6 months. Not that I'm counting or anything.
Yeah. Well, you had to do math.
It's like being in a prison cell and you just like tick off the days. Uh-huh.
That kind of relationship, huh? Because that's how much you love each other? Okay.
So much love.
I still have my toothbrush prison shank, so...
Just in case she gets out of
hand. You never know when you're going to need it.
It's like prison. But better.
No. Best marriage advice ever. It's like prison.
It's early still. We just woke up. It's only 4.
It's only 4 in the afternoon. What do you expect from us?
Yeah, I like how you're still wearing your actual house pants. Is that what you call them?
I like to keep the comedy real.
We call them PJ pants here.
Camo, fleecy, cozy pants that not only can I just share this, not only does he wear this all around the house. I know you don't want me to say this. All day long.
Yeah.
He does sleep in them sometimes because it's cold.
Yeah.
And this is the best part, is that because it's cold outside, instead of his long underwear, he wears the same ones and he tucks them into his socks and he puts his pants over. So there could be days where he has worn those pants for like 6 days in a row.
Wow.
For every instance of his like night.
I think she's just jealous of my warmth. She wants my house pants and I won't take them off so she can snatch them and put them
they
on.
To bathe, you just like take a washcloth and like just stick it down there like you're...
Bathe? What is bathe? What is that? It's winter.
It's winter. We don't bathe in the winter.
I'm from Utah. We take snow and rub it on ourselves in private pots.
That's hot.
That is hot.
That's cold. It's really cold. So.
This is why I have to watch him watch the
Actually, yeah, Teresa, we did a show. Where was it? In Pendleton. Was it Pendleton? You captured a shot of me in the house pants after a show?
And then posted. Oh, yeah.
We posted it on Facebook.
We were at a casino. And I took a picture of him inside ordering food in his house pants out in the real world, which is always embarrassing.
It's like a Sasquatch sighting.
You let him go out in those?
I know. I didn't let.
She took pictures.
There's no letting with him. But I did take pictures.
Yeah.
And post
them on the
internet.
Well, of course you kind of have to.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, I will shame you publicly.
Shaming.
Well, I assume you went someplace classy like McDonald's or something, right?
It was like the casino, like, it wasn't even like a restaurant at the casino or the bar at the casino. It was just like where.
Pizza
like,
and hot dogs.
The old people are sustaining themselves in their 12-hour of
putting dollars into.
Yeah, they're like, I just need a burger. And that was we. That was where we were.
Yeah.
It was a classy spot.
I see. Yeah, that sounds very classy. All right, so now it's your turn. What does she do that's horrible?
It's really kind of cute, actually.
It's embarrassing.
Oh, no.
She farts when she eats.
No, I don't really.
Yeah, I was going to say, she farts when she eats. Yeah, I've heard that.
I've heard that, too, but that's not real.
It's not true.
I don't really do that.
You do. I just didn't have the heart to tell you that.
It's true.
Don't move the microphone.
I'm sorry. Did it make
it's okay. I don't care. Okay. It's microphones. Take it off. Hold
don't
it.
Be no, so
I like to try and belittle her when I can. She's afraid of them. We mentioned this before.
Yeah.
They're so
don't
scary
get too close
large
to them.
No. Yeah, I don't do anything weird in real life. I'm perfect.
That's true. Yes.
Practically perfect in every way.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So if you could just leave the room, plug your ears for earmuffs.
All right.
Spell. Go.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
With your... See, I know that you could still hear us because you have tiny hands and big ears.
And I do have tiny hands and big ears.
He can
ears
say that because she does a joke
he'll
about
be,
both of them.
Yeah. He'll be annoyed at me about something because I actually do stupid things constantly.
Oh, yeah.
So he'll be annoyed with me about something and he'll go like 3 rooms away and mutter under his breath.
And she can hear me.
Bitch. And I'm like, I heard that. How did you hear that?
It's the super radar
like,
hearing.
I have, radar hearing. Yeah. It's like they bounce back like a satellite.
Yeah.
Some giant dishes there.
Yeah. That's
They're
good
nice
for something.
Right.
Thank you, ancestors, for your genetics.
So when you go out and you put sunscreen on, like ears are the first thing, right?
Oh, yeah. The tippy topsies. Yeah. Well, it's the only part of my body actually that burns because I don't usually burn.
Well, that's the only part that really sees the sun. Right. Yeah.
Just the tips. And then I look even more like an elf because then the tips are red. And so it's like, a little elfin child.
Adorable.
I don't know what you're talking about, though. We're in Oregon. We haven't seen the sun in 2.5
it's been
years.
So long.
3 damn days.
But we're going to Hawaii again for a couple shows in February, and we will see the sun.
Oh, nice.
And it will be amazing. I'm so excited.
You need an opener for that show? I don't even have to perform. Like, if I could just go with you.
You can come with us. If you can get your own ticket and place to stay and a rental car, you can come with us.
Actually, you could probably figure out a place to stay for him.
Problem solved.
Well, he gets,
or you can just sleep on the beach.
If you get the rental car. Oh, that you don't sleep on the beach. They'll beat you up and take all your stuff.
Yeah, but I won't have any stuff.
There you go. It's perfect.
You won't afterwards.
It just beats you up.
I mean, a good beating.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm getting free board for just a beating a day, that's no big deal.
We'll figure it out. We'll get you there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Being homeless in Hawaii is pretty easy.
Right?
Yeah.
It's way better than Oregon. It's so cold here.
Hitchhiking in Hawaii, I mean, especially on the interstate, it's practically impossible. Just not.
Well, because there's only one interstate that goes about 9 miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Everywhere else.
That's why you have an interstate.
It has just one.
Very interesting. They had a senator that was there for 20-something years, and they have interstates on the island of Oahu.
Just the one, though, right?
It's an interstate.
But wait, what? Oh my God! Wow, it took me a long time to come to the party here.
An interstate is a Hawaii that goes between states.
And this is—it's the only interstate that doesn't go between states.
They don't even have roads that go inter-island.
Not yet.
Not yet. They have tunnels, though.
They have tunnels.
No, they don't. No. But Doug actually was on a radio show in Maui and convinced he was playing the part of a guy that has been building a tunnel from the island of Maui to Lanai. And so it was like him and his buddy, who was the radio guy, had come up with this whole thing, and he was interviewing him and talked about how the tunnel was about to open. Everyone was super, super excited. Well, they convinced all of these people that there was an actual tunnel.
We had fake commercials set up with all the sponsors that did it.
Wow.
And it was the Lahaina to Lanai tunnel, and I was a construction worker, and because of the celebration, he had us construction workers in there to celebrate, and then they ran commercials and played music, and they just took questions, and people were calling in, is this real? Because I'm betting my boss that this is fake, but it sounds real. They had people calling the radio station so upset in the morning because they could not find the entrance to the new tunnel that they were talking about.
How would you think that you just wouldn't notice?
Other guy that I was there with, who was a construction worker, he came up with a brilliant solution just on the fly. He was like, well, it's one of the new tunnels. What it does is it submerges under the water, and then it pops up, a ramp comes out, the cars drive in, everyone gets on, and then it just submerges back under the water, so you really can't see it. You got to look for the entrance there. Yeah, and that's why you've never noticed it.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that was good.
God.
I was in charge of the caulking crew.
I bet you were.
I was a master cocker.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I would only hire the ladies because they knew how to handle the cock.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they know how to really get it in there.
They do.
I mean, sometimes there's a crack that you got to patch up.
Well, that's what I really liked about them.
You got to stick your cock in there.
They knew, though.
That was good. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was good. You got to stick your cock in there.
Especially if you're underwater. I mean, it's got to be a tight seal.
I understand
a lot of these cracks are pretty tight, but once you get the cock in there, it's not so bad.
Well, the beautiful thing is these ladies were experts, and they knew exactly what kind of cock to use for what size cracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, if you have a giant crack, you want to fill that with black cock.
Oh, yeah.
But if you've got real tiny cracks, you just use, the little yellow cock.
Yeah.
But the all-around favorite, I think, was really the white cock.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It performed the best, if you ask me.
It's concrete walls, so the white cock is going to fit in the best.
It blends in.
And, of course, on the bottom, you have the asphalt.
Right.
The asphalt.
So it's always, whose fault?
Once you get the cock, the asphalt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the worst, though, is when you would do the overhead cocking, and, you get some of it would, you put your finger up there and start to run that bead, and then some of it would drip off hit you in the mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you hate it when you get cock in the mouth.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The eyes.
Well, I think if you get it in the mouth, though, I mean, you can spit all you want. Spit.
Yeah, yeah.
The only way to get the taste out is to swallow the cock.
Yeah. Well, the thing is though, I almost went blind.
We're laughing because we agree.
I was
swallow the.
I almost went blind once because it dripped in my eye.
That's a true story.
Eye. That actually is a true story.
You were a pirate.
You got conch in your eye.
I did.
Yeah.
And I almost went blind.
You almost went blind because was it?
I mean, was in Hawaii. Too.
It wasn't real conch. It was.
What are you guys? What? No, we're talking about caulking.
Like, aren't we in the trust tree?
Are we in the tree? Are we in
circle
the place?
Of trust.
Can't we say whatever?
It's the circle tree of trust.
Yes.
The circle. We're going to reference two movies at once and just put them together.
So, okay. So, as a kid, what was your favorite Disney movie?
I don't know if this is a Disney movie, but it was like a kid's movie that was really scary. It was like Something Wicked This Way Comes. Have you heard of it? It was like a scary kid's movie that was like done in the 70s, but in the 80s I watched it when
I was a child. I've heard about it. I don't think I've ever actually watched it.
I loved it, and it was really spooky and scary. It had some Poe references, which I did not get until I was older. I did not read Poe when I was like 8. I wasn't that smart. But yeah, Something Wicked This Way Comes, which I recommend even as an adult maybe watching. I think it was really good. And, you know, can't go wrong with E.T.
Yeah.
Goonies, all those.
Ugh, Goonies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out because I feel like I was born early enough that I can still appreciate of like kids going into a cave, going on an adventure, especially in Oregon because it was all shot in Oregon.
All Oregon.
And
too.
But like kids now are going to be watching that movie at the age of 5 on their iPads. You know, I don't know if it'll mean the same to them
There's
as
no
it did
hope
to us.
For those children anyway.
I remember watching those movies with my kids too.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Your own children.
Right.
Goonies with your own children.
Yes.
What movies were even out for kids in the 70s?
What I really liked, my favorite Disney movie when it came out was Steamboat Willie.
Oh my God. You're not that old. You're old. Very, very old, but not
that was the very first Disney movie, by the way.
Wow. So. Mr. Trivia over here, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Every inane fact in the world is stuck in that little head of his.
It's not very little. It's enormous.
Yeah, you do have a giant face. So
I have a TV head.
No, for real, season.
No, I do. Seriously.
What movie? I'm curious. What movie did you like?
Witch Mountain, I think, was a movie I saw that came out as a kid. With Richard Dreyfuss was young.
Yeah.
That movie ruined my life.
What?
Yes, I loved the movie Escape from Witch Mountain and Witch Mountain, and I watched them in the 80s. I mean, after they were out.
You pressed them on VHS.
Yeah.
They didn't have when I was a kid.
But there was I was really young, like 6 or 7 or something, and there was, it was on television, it was playing, and there was this old man, and he ran really funny. And I made fun of it, and my parents thought it was really funny that I was mimicking his run. So then I would always mimic it because they'd always laugh. And well, apparently I was a comedian even then. The problem is it stuck. And even
now
to this day,
like
I run like that.
I asked her, why do you run like that? What are you doing?
It's ruined my life, and I can't run differently. I've tried to read, but it's like I learned, and it's because of comedy in that movie. It's like I wanted to make people laugh, and therefore
we have gotten some good parking spots because of it, though.
Because of my, I know. Oh.
Do the run thing again. I'm parking here.
The mentally challenged girl. It's okay that she's
put the helmet on. Wear this. It'll be fine.
That's why you make me lick the windows.
Right. It's the free parking.
Yeah, of course.
The good parking.
Look at her. What do you guys think? Yeah.
The whole parking lot's full. Handicap. All right, sweetie, you lick the window while I run inside real quick. Is that pretty
just
much
leave her
pretty
in
much
there, steam it up, lick it.
So, but I did like the movie as well. It's a very good movie.
Oh, I didn't know if I really liked it. It was just one that came out when I was a kid.
Oh, your memory. It's hard at this age.
I don't remember much. Yeah.
He was born in 1968, which is the year that that we went to space and touched the moon, right?
Yeah, I was alive when man was on the moon.
Nice.
Which a lot of people nowadays can't say.
I cannot say that. No, I was not even
And
born.
It's getting more and more rare the older I get.
Oh.
Because there's less and less people.
Yeah.
Every day.
You'll just stay around, though.
Hopefully you'll still be alive when we touch Mars.
That would be... Well, we've been on there with rovers. Does that count?
Yeah, rovers.
No, it does not count. It has to be human touching.
Yeah, we haven't touched it.
Fondling. Groping of the Mars.
Molested, if you will.
It's not real until
similar
it's
to what we've done to Earth, you know.
Oh, yeah. So democracy.
Just really stuck our dick in there and waddled around a little bit, you know.
We need to get the...
Speaking of
which... Throw $20 on the dresser and then head home, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
The job creators need to get up there and do something for us.
I want to go to the Mars so bad. I want to go to space, but I'm not like... I don't have, you know, great vision to be an astronaut or physically fit and or intelligent enough. It's very disturbing.
Yeah, my little kid dream that still lives on today is going to Mars.
Me too. Maybe we'll all go to Mars together.
We will. Right?
Let's do it.
All right. So when first tickets go on sale for Mars, three of us.
Yes. And we'll all be so rich and famous.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
I get motion sickness. I don't want to do it.
In fact, if anything, they will probably do a celebrity flight.
Right. And then they'll be like, the Wyckoffs and Ryan, they have to be on it.
Oh, of course.
How
yeah.
could they not?
That'll only make sense.
And we'll
Didn't you hear that
pictures.
One podcast in 2014? Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone is.
I play it once a week.
Who knows? This could be like a meme or something like that.
Right?
And like us on Mars. Oh, it's ridiculous.
It'll go viral and people will be like, send these people to Mars.
Exactly.
And then they'll trick us and send us to the desert in Utah and we'll be like stuck in a bubble and we'll just look out the window and we'll think we're going to Mars. They'll just rock the thing every once in a while.
Yeah, because that would be very.
You guys will be like, oh my God, this is so real.
Wow.
But I would like be like brave and like run outside and it's actually space and freeze to death.
Wow, your imagination just keeps going and it never stops.
Well, we're all doing the same thing here, right?
Yeah.
Imagining life on Mars?
See, I have only ever seen movies with people on Mars where it goes horribly, horribly wrong, right?
Always.
So I've pretty much decided that if I do have an opportunity to go to Mars, that it's a suicide mission.
It's just got to be okay
no
with
return.
That. Everyone
yeah,
dies.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that is how I want to die. I want to die on Mars.
That's what they should do is just put old people in spaceships and just start shipping them out there. So
right?
by the time you get to Mars, you can see it, land on it. And then that's how they could get biomass there and
exactly.
start growing stuff.
Right.
And then, you know.
Wow. Why are you not
brilliant.
A world leader?
It's genius.
Yeah.
Google that shit.
See, this is why we should have voted for Newt Gingrich.
Right.
Because he was the one that wanted to go to the moon and start colonizing in the next 4 years.
Oh.
That's the only reason I would have voted for Newt.
Yeah.
I would have voted
I
for
Newt.
I got
booed last night. It was the first time I've ever got booed in my life. Did you see that?
Because you said the word Obamacare.
Oh, my God. I didn't know what to do. I've never been
I remember if
before.
You were for it or against it, but I remember
I
you just
know.
Mentioned it, and
I just
nobody was
it.
On board.
I didn't
Shuddered.
Say either way.
Took her to a knee.
I just mentioned I went to the doctor, and it was like, Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of his boo. Like, boo. I was like, I'm just going to barrel through and get to the next one.
You're like,
this is scary.
I can't remember what you said. You're like, okay, moving on.
I did, literally. That's
like,
pretty much what I said.
God, how many times have you told that joke?
Never, ever. I just happened.
You just happened to say it.
It just
okay.
happened. Just I just went to the doctor, and he had bigger ears than me. So yeah. I was just like, it's happened like 2 or 3 days ago. So I was like, I'm going to mention that the next time I talk about my ears. And I don't
Obama
know.
Obama has big ears. I'm writing a joke for you right now. Be like, now that Obamacare is in effect, my doctor has really big ears, just like Obama. So that's, get him because it been.
And then I'll work with that.
Obamacare.
But I don't know.
You're
going to
work with that. That is a nice way of a comedian saying that's a horrible
No,
horrible
actually,
joke.
No, it's not. Because I like the, I never thought about the fact that Obama
That's a
has
great premise
ears.
And I'll work on it.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
I'm just going to write that I'm down
honest.
In my notebook
Could
over
you
here.
Email that to me? Yeah. Then I would have it.
I'm writing.
Tweet it to me. Tweet it to me.
I'm just putting it in my phone right now. No, I like it because I didn't think about the fact that Obama has large ears. I'm scared of it, though, because I got booed last night and that's never happened and it was really scary.
Maybe if you were like going to tell him you wanted
if
to get
was
like,
Doug,
plastic surgery done so you don't have Obama ears anymore.
Oh, they would have loved that. Right?
Will Obamacare pay for that?
Will Obamacare pay for your
oh,
Obama
like
ears?
It's like a full circle. It's
there
like
you
a,
go.
See, now.
See, that just came alive.
Together.
Right.
Now you have to write it down.
And now I have to. I'm like, what is the phone? Well, you have it on the thing.
Oh, yeah, I got it. You can just listen to this later. Yeah.
That's always some comforting.
Problem solved.
You just need him with us wherever we go.
He did say he wanted to go to Hawaii.
I know. I'd be like, write this joke. This is Micah's the whole time. Just
see,
as we walk around.
This, okay, this will get into the next subject on the podcast, is what is your writing process?
I'm really bad. We both just banter back and forth constantly, yeah. and then when there's something funny, write it down. Now, mm-hmm. this is the problem, is Doug is way better than I am at actually writing things down. So I kind of am like, well, if I remember it was really good. But then he'll write it down, and even though I'd already kind of called it as my joke, he wrote it down, and then he does it from stage the first time, so then it's his, which is kind of our rule, and it's very frustrating. So I'm trying to write down more.
Yeah,
she's just bitter more. Because I write all her material for her.
Basically. No, well, you write it down that I say, but and then but steal it. And it's never as funny when you say it, by the way, when it's mine.
Well, like Tony – You saw him last night.
Yeah,
like
he's
half
super
of the stuff
funny.
That he said on stage last night, he just makes up as he goes. He'll start with like one joke, one premise, and then just kind of angrily riff on that until he reaches another punchline.
And that works sometimes.
Yeah. And then he'll remember that punchline and then take out all the extra stuff and then just keep doing that until he has like a whole 5 minute bit.
Yeah.
But he I'd say like 75% of his joke writing is on stage. Mm. As where you can give me any subject, anything at any point, and then I can sit down at a desk for 8 hours and write an amazing.
So jealous of you.
Yeah. Which as well. And see, I can't riff as well as other people. Mm. I can do improv.
Wow.
Like I can either do like direct improv or I can sit down and write. I don't have that connection between the two.
Wow.
So
I am so jealous of you right now, because I'm actually like Tony, where I kind of work it out on stage.
Yeah.
Which has been hard for us since we moved to Oregon, because we've been kind of living in the Oregon coast, a really small town, haven't had as much stage time as we'd like.
Yeah.
So instead of riffing it out on stage, we basically kind of riff it together. Mm-hmm. But I wish I could just sit at a table and just someone give me subjects.
Yeah. Sounds like a great attribute for like screenwriting.
Or writing for like the Daily Show or something like that.
I mean,
to be able to do that.
Honestly, from what I've seen, most of the people who are having success in comedy recently are people who do more than stand up. They write something.
Yeah.
They write an article. They write a blog post. They do podcasts.
Yeah.
A lot of the, and you have to branch out, and then you still have to do all the marketing a lot of the time for that
kind of
stuff.
You're really good though at writing. Like he's way more what's the word I want to say? Not pervasive, but there's a better word. Anyway, he does more
prolific.
Yes, he writes more than I do. He's very prolific.
Well, here's my secret.
So he's more.
What
new
I do
stuff
is I smoke a huge bowl of weed. And then I go take a hot shower for about half hour to 45 minutes. And I can usually come out with about a minute and a half of solid material.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that, there's about 10 seconds. It's really
fun. That's actually, when I sober up, it works.
Yeah.
So.
And it's the same, actually. It's amazing to me how his writing process is extremely similar to our sexy time. It's almost exactly the same.
I smoke a huge bowl of weed, 30 to 45 seconds in bed.
Yeah.
And then
take a 45-minute shower.
Yeah.
Take a 45.
And then just the tears.
Just the tears.
That.
In the fetal position.
Don't tell him about my crying, okay?
Wow.
Oh, that's okay.
But
that's
okay.
You're in a safe zone.
The trust tree.
The trust circle of the trust tree.
circle tree.
Yeah, but for me, it's great because we are really super lucky, because almost every day when we're driving together, hanging out together, we're pretty much our only friends that live in the same town, so we're always together. We're always working on new material. And most of our jokes, mine especially, are just like life stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like he'll remind me of something that happened to me, because I have so many embarrassing and awkward moments that I don't really need to come up with new material. I just have to remember things that have happened to me in the past.
But she still comes up with a lot of good new stuff too, the awkward and embarrassing.
I swear. Russell Brand, I believe, copied my quote, because I was saying this for a while to my friends, and then I saw this on a Russell Brand book, who I'm a big fan of, by the way. So I'm assuming somehow he heard through one of my friends this quote and then took it, put it on his book, which I would have preferred if he referenced me, but he has not.
Yet.
And that quote is basically like, my life is a string of awkward, embarrassing moments strung together by awkwardness.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly how he puts it. It's about the same thing.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate that he changed a word or two.
That before.
Yeah. That's my life. So that's why I do stand-up comedy.
We sit and listen to each other every single time, every night. You know, we know all the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
We could do each other's sets. And
yeah.
We actually did that one night.
Oh, my God. That was the most fun I've ever had doing stand-up comedy ever.
I don't know. Can you tell that joke, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't know if I can even.
Sometimes I'll ask, hey, how much time I got? How am I doing? And I'll be like, hey, got any ideas? Teresa, what should I do next? And she'll always yell out.
I should say it's because of your memory, baby pumpkin.
No, it's the weed I smoke all the time.
He doesn't remember some of his jokes.
Yeah.
So I'll yell out jokes to him, because that's, you know, it's what we do. We're together.
Yeah.
I got to do it right. I don't want to come home and do it wrong and be in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? Because then the beating starts.
So she always yells out this one joke.
It's really, really
offensive. It's kind of a really dirty joke. So the other day she was on stage and she's like, how much time? What should I do? Help me out. She went through a brain fart or something. something.
I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I completely, I was like, do I even own jokes? Do I have ever written a joke?
So I just, in response, yelled out what she always yells at me, my joke. Trojan condoms. Do Trojan condoms.
And I was like,
she's like, what?
And it's so dirty, but I know it so well because, you know, I hear it all the time. And it's a really, I think, a pretty good joke, like as far as like.
It's offensive, but it's funny.
So offensive and so naughty. So it took me a while to work up to it because it's so naughty. But it was so much fun saying it.
Do it now.
It's your joke. Okay. Okay. So, and I'm, don't correct me if I get it wrong. You won't? Okay. You ever wonder why they call Trojan condoms Trojan condoms? I mean, what do you think of when you think of Trojan? Like Trojan horse?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to name your condoms after something that's like, okay, I can't ever say it like you do, but like it has a bunch of little fuckers inside waiting to come
sneaking out.
And
sneaky invaders waiting.
Yeah, no, say it. Sneaky invaders waiting inside ready to come out.
And fuck shit up.
Like the Trojan horse. See, I can't say that part as funny as you because I never remember. And then, and people laugh because they're like, oh, that's funny. I didn't think about that, Trojan. And then he says, I would call them Jesus condoms because then, you know, you always have Jesus with you, put in your wallet. Jesus is with you, keeps you safe. And then, you know, you could always, now I completely forgot the joke, so just go for it.
You tell it.
I know, it's so naughty and I kind of forgot it. But it was like, and then, you know, you could put Jesus inside her. You know, put Jesus inside her, and then you're like, kneel down and receive Jesus.
Yeah, but here's the dilemma is that Jesus was born without conception.
You don't need the condom.
Then you don't need it.
People would take out the Jesus condom and be like, don't need this.
I don't need
this. Just throw it away, right?
Right.
You know what I really hate, though, is when people are always trying to shove Jesus down your throat, though.
Or would you want to name your condoms after, like, the holy? They're holy condoms.
You don't want holy condoms.
No, you don't.
Anyway, the joke is really funny, and I totally butchered it. But that night, I actually remembered it, and it was funny, and it was super fun, and it was super naughty, because I don't normally go very naughty.
It was more funny to see her up there telling a dirty joke, as dirty as it is, and just being, like, all nervous and scared.
It was really funny, though. Like, when they laughed, it really meant a lot, because, I don't know, because I don't normally do that kind of joke. But and it's normally funny. I didn't do it funny tonight, but it can be.
Do you want to try it again now?
No.
Do it tonight at the show.
I'll
give it a try.
If he'll let me, it's just.
If we can do that material.
Can we do that? Is that too dirty?
No, that's fine.
All right.
No, we're at Summit tonight, so it's a dirtier venue.
But I'm gonna do it. If he lets me do his joke, I will do it.
We'll see.
The joke will be done by who? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe we could do it together on our duo part. Oh, sorry. Someone doesn't like to share.
Uh-huh. It is really funny, and you kind of butchered it. So it's like, here's my baby, and you dropped my baby.
And then I stomped on your baby.
And you kicked it down the floor trying to pick it up.
We'll see. We'll just see. Let's just not put a table on it. We'll talk about it later amongst ourselves.
Yeah, our people to talk to your people.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, I don't know where we're going with that, but that's his dirty joke that I got to do.
But anyway, bouncing ideas off of each other because he has girlfriends.
Thank you for the air quotes.
I think it's made my comedy better, and I know
I think it's accelerated us for sure.
Oh yeah,
because we edit each other's stuff, we work with each other. I have a problem with I've always had a problem with being too wordy, like having too much setup. And he's really good at helping me edit stuff down. So like I'll write on stage, like I'll kind of riff through stuff, and then the setup gets too wordy. I think mainly because I like to talk a lot and over explain. And so then he'll work with me to edit it down to like its most simple essence. So like the story that I did to close last night, my embarrassing story about pooping on a child.
Yeah.
That one used to be like a 5-minute thing.
Yeah.
And he helped me get it down to like, I don't know, like 45 seconds, a minute. I don't know what it is. It's still kind of long, but it has some little tags in it. So I think that's been really good. It's been fun
to grow at the same rate with our comedy careers. It's not like one of us had a lot of experience and the other one said, I want to do it. So we both kind of started at the exact same time, same level of comedy, and we've kind of grown. One person might do a little better than the other person, and it's a competition, but it's also you work together. And
has there ever been a night in which one of you just completely bombed and then the other one just killed in the same show?
not to that extreme, but I think she's done really well at one show and they just weren't feeling me one time.
Yeah.
And I think it's good.
It hasn't been like a dramatic, like bomb kill. Yeah.
But the way you feel about it, like as yourself, you're like, man, that just sucked. And then she comes down and she's all smiles like, that was awesome.
You.
And I think
that's when he goes in the other room and starts muttering to himself.
No, it makes me feel really good because yeah. I would really hate if
or vice versa
so, if yeah. one of us was really good and the other person was just carrying them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be difficult to deal with because then like if you were the one person that was carrying and then you bombed, then there never was a chance. But
I think one thing that's good for us is that we get really excited when the other person does well and gets mm-hmm. laughs. Like we're not competitive against each other.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's the only person that like when he does really well, like I feel like I also killed, if that makes sense. Like mm-hmm. there have been nights that especially the way that we do our show is because we feature and headline together mm-hmm. is the feature section. We'll each do like a 15 minute version of our specific solo stand up and then we come up together. Mm-hmm. So there have been times, like I think there was one show recently where mine was just kind of like, I don't know, I wouldn't say bombed at all, but I wasn't happy with it. And it was just kind of like, you know, you come up stage, you don't have that adrenaline that you have after like when you kill. Yeah. And he got up there and he totally slayed and killed. Yeah. And it was hilarious, every single thing. And then it made me really excited so that when I came up for the duo set, like I was like, I could do this too. This is cool. Okay, I can do it. And it gave me a little bit more courage. And then when we were up there together. So I think that's nice. But I think if you don't have to be with another comedian to have that type of like relationship. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you can have like another person that you can mm-hmm. banter with and riff with and have that still kind of supportive, where they're supportive of your career and they understand without having to necessarily be another comedian that you travel with. But it is
but
nice.
It does help.
It's mm-hmm. super awesome.
Well, like Jim Gaffigan, his wife helps him write half of his material, but she does not do comedy.
But they have
like
a great five example. Kids
yeah.
too, though.
And yeah.
That's a great example, though, because and I'm sure he wouldn't be who he is without her support either, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, so it's like you don't have to be an actual comedian, because there's a lot of really funny people that just don't want to go up on stage in front of other people.
Yeah.
I think it takes a very insecure, sad person like myself to really want to
just absorb it. Again, this takes us back to the suicide mission of Mars.
Right.
Like you have to be ready to die or so depressed that you just like, you know what, this is it. I'm going to die in the process of doing this.
Yeah.
This is how I want to die. Mars, going up on stage.
Mars exploration or
comedy.
Comedy.
Yeah. That's it's pretty much
exactly
it.
The same.
It's like you can only do it when you have coped with the fact that you will probably die in this process.
Mm-hmm.
So once you cope with that, you're like, well, hey, what do I have to lose?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
No, totally. It's so true. Yeah, but it's nice, like being able. I know a lot of road comics. It's hard because they have to be away from the person they're with.
Mm-hmm.
Or because, you know, like it's very similar to when I was a flight attendant. When I was a flight attendant, I had no like real relationships, because the only people I could have had a relationship were pilots, and they were always cheating on everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, no need to generalize, but for the most part. And so I was not about to go there. So it was like I was always gone, and sometimes they could come with me, but they had real jobs too, and you're gone 4 days a week. It would be the same if you're a road comic and you're gone like 2 weeks out of the month or mm-hmm. every weekend. Is it's hard probably to be away, and I know that was really hard for me. So it's nice that when we do it, we can do it together. So like we do like runs or shows, like, you know, here we can come together and we hang out during the day and have, you know, hang out, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right where you are sitting right now.
Oh, right where I'm sitting.
That's where we hung out.
Okay.
And then some more over there.
I mean, technically he hung out and then in.
Well, she said, here's your blue vitamins and this morning. It's potty time.
Pretty much. He's like, where's the hand sanitizer?
It's so dirty now.
Hand sanitizer in here.
Everything was going so well.
I know. That's not true. Don't worry.
It's always best.
Which, by the way, I need to point this out to our listeners, is that the bed that you're sitting on has like different sheets and blankets and comforter and everything like that. Because she's you're a crazy princess. Person.
Because
I said princess.
Same thing.
No, it's okay. Let me just give you some background. I used to work in pest control for like 10 years, uh-huh. so I know too much about what happens in hotel rooms. Uh-huh. I used to be a flight attendant, mm-hmm. so I also know like
too much about what happens in hotel rooms.
Yeah. Well, and like that, there's like they don't wash the bedspreads ever, pretty much. Yeah. And this is standard for like the Ritz or the Days Inn, whatever. It's the same. They just don't do it. And I like to be cozy, so it's like I want my own pillows.
Yeah. She has her own personal Sherpa packing all her shit everywhere.
And
she
to be
goes.
Honest, whose idea was it? It was actually his idea because he's like, I miss a comforter from home. And then he's like, we should bring it. And I totally agreed, but now he makes me look like the princess. But it is quite wonderful.
He blames it on you.
Have your cozy flannel sheets.
Yeah.
And our blankets, which some of these were wedding presents, so
it's important to bring
those. How many blankets do you have on there? Three of your own?
Three.
Plus the.
Well, we didn't need to talk about that.
Jesus!
She's a frail.
Well, I don't like the
delicate flower.
I don't like the heaters at night in hotel rooms because I'm too lazy to take out my contacts and they dry out my contacts. So I do this instead of having to use.
So it's easier for me to pack all the bedding than it is for her to take
this
her contacts.
But you're so strong. You like feeling strong and powerful.
Lifting heavy things. Yeah. That's what I'm good for.
I love how you do that.
Do what?
Every single time. How like he calls you out on something where you're like, I don't like this and that. But you're so good at that, sweetie. Like you're the best.
She does that?
Yes.
Hey,
yes, she
wait
does.
Wait a minute. I'm recognizing.
I'm sorry. Should I not have? Oh.
It's fine. I'll have to find a new way to control him.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We'll figure it out. I can tell that you two manipulate each other.
A little bit.
That's the way of the comedian, especially when both of you are together. I can only imagine what the fights are like.
The only thing we fight about is the actual jokes, who gets to do what, and who's going to go first, and who is.
And dishes. Absolutely dishes.
That's your fight. The joke. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
It's so true, too. Yeah. You can't make that up. It's so true. And he does it constantly. His son, I just have to say this. I do a joke about like wanting to adopt and like a 17-year-old, and then his son actually moved in with us, and I'm like, one good year.
Yeah.
He says that all the time. Like,
hey, make me lunch.
And I'm like, I don't want to make you lunch right now. He's like, one good year. You promised one. So it's like he brings it. It's like a little Doug.
Oh, man.
So adorable.
You're welcome. And
although he's like weighs over 200 pounds and he's almost 6 feet tall.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Well, and see, my last girlfriend, I will give her this.
She was over 6 feet tall and 200 pounds?
Not quite. Close.
She was a healthy girl.
I will give her this. She had amazing talent for the callback.
Oh.
Usually when we're fighting and usually about things that pissed her off before. But amazing talent for the callback.
She could just bring her.
Oh, yeah.
Every woman
bring
has
it around every single time.
Ability they have.
We're born with that.
It's natural.
The callback in life. You don't like that kind, though.
No.
I don't like those either, honestly. We try not to call back in that way. We call back to jokes, but we try to like leave things in the past. Yeah. So, but yeah, we do fight about jokes and stuff all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Constantly. Because he steals my best ones. And he does them from stage first, so then
if they're funny.
Yeah. We have a writing group here, and there's like three or four of us. We get together every week, and we'll be talking, and if we get so off the topic of one comedian's joke and start riffing about something, then we realize, oh my God, that's so funny, we have to write it down. And then there's like this eye twitching back and forth like Mexican standoff.
Who's going to write it first?
Who's going to grab their pen first and write it down? But we all do. I mean, there's the way that we figured out is like, who was the first person that said it?
Yeah.
Or who was the first person going in that direction towards that punchline? And then at which point other deciding factors are, who does this joke fit the best?
Right.
I mean, who has similar jokes like this that could tie into it? Whose persona does it fit better? And then finally, it comes down to who does it on stage first.
Yeah,
that's really what it truly is.
Because after that, it's like, you know, I had that problem with Amy Schumer once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never met the girl, and she's pretty well known, I guess. But
heard of her.
I did a joke for a while that I really liked, and I hadn't brought it back, and I was about to bring it back because I didn't want somewhere, and it like did really well. And then I was watching Amy Schumer's new show on Comedy Central, and she did a whole skit basically. detailing my whole joke. It was about basically like sexting and mm-hmm. how like before you could lie about what you're wearing and like they'd be like, what you wearing? I'm like, I'm wearing black lingerie, but you're like wearing like a your dirty sweatshirt pants. In front of Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah.
But then
I remember that one. Yeah.
But then she'd had that in her thing. I was like, Amy.
Oh,
damn you.
Man. But we've never met, so I don't think she took I think a common premise is the issue. Oh, yeah. Either that or she saw it in open mic in Maui once.
It is nice though that you're thinking along the same lines as people at that level.
Yeah. I love her actually. I mean,
she's funny.
Oh yeah, she is.
She is so funny.
She's super hot.
And most of our stuff does not intersect. So I felt really excited that I came up with a common premise that she had.
Yeah.
It actually made me really happy and then all of a sudden really sad because I knew if I did it, because she's so famous, everyone would think that I took it from her. So I was like, it is retired.
Yeah.
The baby is killed.
And see, I have a joke that for the first couple of years that I did comedy was my closer. Like same closer every night, huge laughs, get off stage, felt great about it. Until finally a comedian came through and said, oh, that's kind of like this guy's joke. God damn it. So I had to go and find it. And yes, this other person does this joke and it's hilarious. And so, yeah, the reason I got such big laughs is because another comedian had apparently written it before me.
Hurts.
So I still try to fit it in whenever I need extra time, but I can't use it as my closer. I mean, again, unrealized idea. Like you could do your joke again because
common
you know.
Premise. Yeah,
exactly. But I still feel guilty. And this person had written it before I did.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would be the stealer. I would be...
It's just how it's seen. And that's the problem with observational comedy.
Yeah.
Is there's so many... There's only so many premises out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you observe them. And it's great. Observational comedy is awesome because people can relate to it.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that
there's
someone...
There's only so much to observe.
Well, like, there's so many comedians who can see the same thing and do the same jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think both of us kind of get a little bit paranoid about watching comedy, mm-hmm. Comedy Central, because I'm so worried that somewhere I'm going to absorb a joke and come back a year later and think I wrote it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
Like there's a joke that I do right now that I love it so much, but part of me, there's a little fear that's like, did someone do this before?
Yeah.
And I absorbed it. Well, it's like one of my favorites.
I used to do a joke.
It's kind of observational.
I did a joke about skinny jeans. How I wear them. And before I bought these weren't skinny jeans, but they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty common premise, and everybody laughed.
Oh, because you gained weight and then became skinny. Yeah.
And so then I'm watching – we usually don't watch comedy, and we are watching a Louis C.K. special.
Mm-hmm.
And he breaks out with his skinny jeans joke, and it's almost the same. And I'm just like
– no. And it looks
so I don't even want to watch comedians because if I don't know they're doing it, I could be like, I came up with it. I have no idea. So I don't
another
watch
way of looking
comedians
at it.
At all.
There are – I've talked to other comedians that say that they will not watch other comedians. And I guess the most famous one is Pete Holmes on his podcast says that he can't watch Brian Regan ever because he wants to be Brian Regan so bad that he'll be up on stage. Yeah. And just subconsciously not even know that he's doing it.
Regurgitating it.
Yeah.
I used to date a guy in North Carolina where I did comedy, which awesome place to start comedy. That's where I started. And I didn't realize until later, because I'm not a fan of Dane Cook personally, that he did all of Dane Cook's material and mannerisms on stage. I don't know why no one called him on it.
What?
It really explained his personality and why that did not work out.
Where and when was this?
This was this was in North Carolina. I shouldn't say where.
If you're gonna choose, here's the thing: is that like if this was in the first like year or two of Dane Cook's,
his
rise.
This was like
that nobody would really know.
This was like 4, 5, 6 years ago. So Dane Cook had been around, had specials and stuff.
Yeah.
No, so he did his whole thing, and I think it's just because he admired Dane so much.
Oh yeah.
Which is why it didn't work out between us, I think, because ideologically, he was a misogynistic douchebag, and I'm not. So it didn't work out.
Married one instead.
Now that you put it that way,
he said it, not you. You just have to agree.
I think a hard thing you see at open mics a lot. If somebody's never done comedy before,
they don't know.
They don't know that they're not supposed to be doing bar jokes and they're not supposed to be doing other people's jokes and quoting movies. That doesn't make you a stand-up comedian. You have to write and perform all your own material.
Mm-hmm.
and they don't know it. So someone usually kindly comes up and says, "You were funny, you know, but you're doing a lot of bar jokes."
You know what's crazy though, and I'm not. Then don't do this. I'm not going to say venue name, or I'm going to say comedian name. So I'm going to say the story, and I don't want you to accidentally like drop the name of the venue and or comedian.
Bill at Johnson's.
But
Dave at Smitty's.
We live in an area where there's a casino and there's a lot of road comics that come in every single week. And so we like to go a lot just to meet, because we're kind of new to the mainland and it's fun to meet new, like other comedians and other road comedians and stuff like that. So we'll go and watch their comedy and meet them. And it's super fun. It's a hard room for people to do well in. So when someone really kills, it's really fun to watch. Yeah. Well, one thing I've noticed is that sometimes there's road comedians that have been doing it for a while. There's been two or three that come through and they all do the same joke. And I don't know if they're just friends and they share the joke, or if there's one of the three guys that started the joke and the other two follow, like which one's the original. I don't know, but it's like word for word. It's not a common premise. I mean, it could be, but it's like word for word the same joke.
What's
it's
the
like
joke?
A 3 minute bit.
Oh, I can't tell you the joke.
It's like a 3 minute really bit, but still, it's exactly and I know, the and same. The
one of the people, I don't know. I feel bad, but
Come on.
I don't really remember the joke. There was two in a row that all three comedians did, and one was about
calling them out. You're just making an observation.
It's true.
Maybe
I'm not.
They don't even know.
Or maybe they're all buddies and like they share it. Like, you can do this joke tonight. Yeah. Sweet, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the same venue. I'll do it too. Like, I don't know how that would work.
That's the thing, is that now that three people have done it, it's now a community joke.
I guess, yeah,
which
that's
means
true.
That you are now allowed to tell that joke.
Well, I don't even really remember the joke because it wasn't that funny.
Oh, that's even worse.
I know, it is worse. That's what's so weird.
They're so bad at not making funny, they have to steal someone else's not funny joke.
Yes, one was about Muslims, I think, and
so you just say, Muslims, America, Obamacare sucks, and people just stand it and cheer. It's beautiful.
Well, where we live, actually, that would do it.
Yeah.
That would pretty much do it. I was just looking around because there's other regulars there that come every week. I'm like, am I just – the first time it happened, so it was like 1 week one guy came and the next week another guy came. And they're from the same area, too. Yeah. They all live in the same area. So I was like, am I taking crazy pills or did this just happen a week ago like this? And he went into the bathroom. So I'm like, why did you have to go to the bathroom right then and miss this beautiful moment?
So moving on.
I had to ask a question because that does not surprise me at all.
Oh my gosh.
That no. In fact, the second you said three comics that tell the same joke, I was like, oh yeah, they have to be. Like they have to be. Like because no.
It feels good to. Yeah. It feels good to get it out.
It feels good to be out of the matrix.
Yeah. It feels good to be out of the matrix.
Out of the closet.
If anybody, tell you what, somebody listening to this, if you want to tweet and know what that question was, ask me about this episode. I'll let you know.
Oh gosh.
And
we'll talk.
I'm not going to say it on air. No, this will be a private message situation.
Unless it is that person, and then if he doesn't respond, don't feel a.
Oh God, no. And see, it does not surprise me whatsoever. And yeah.
See, now that's the problem with doing comedy with a woman is that they love to get into the drama and the talking.
What are you saying?
I'm above this. I don't think we should carry this conversation on about these fine other people.
See,
he loves that. He gets away with whatever because he's like, I didn't say it. And you know, behind the scenes, he's like, you should say it. She said it, not me.
I didn't say it.
I'm above all this drama. So what did they say?
What were they saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Jeez. So common premises. That's why lately, I would say lately, like the last few years, I've tried to mine jokes from real experiences so that I know, like, no one else can do a joke about how they pooped on a child unless they pooped on a child. And I don't think that very many more people but me have ever pooped on a child.
Well, the closest thing I can think of is Amanda Arnold in Portland does a joke about how a child poops on her.
Yes. Well, so, and then that's close, but I think Amanda and I will.
But again, those are two very specific life experiences.
So one of my favorite comedians, a friend of ours, his name's Don Barnhart. Mm-hmm. Do you know him?
I know the name.
Yeah, he's really funny. He does hypnotism stuff and also just straight stand-up, and he's super funny. And we brought him out to Maui with the group. I don't know if you've heard of Power Up Comedy. Our friend Chino runs it. I think Tony's met him. Anyway, we all brought him out to do some shows, and he said one of the things he said that I keep that's kind of changed my perspective. He said, you know, when you're doing comedy, when you do stories about your life, you never have that problem of worrying if someone's stealing your joke. You mm-hmm. just don't have to have that worry.
Yeah.
So I was like, I should do that more often. And so then that's kind of changed the flow of, like, mm-hmm. you know, my comedy in yeah. a way, which is easier because I have so many stories that I don't yeah. run out of material.
Yeah, there's this gray area in between just regular joke writing and life experience joke writing. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of in that area at this point where, you know, if something happens that's very common and I think of some sort of joke, I will still write it down and try to use it later on. But I, with the mindset that how many people were in this exact situation and thought the exact mm-hmm. same thing? And how can I make it more personal, tie it in with other jokes? Because if I ever feel like I'm stealing a joke from somebody, I have to put it into a separate bit. So that way it's just a tag in a bigger picture mm-hmm. and it's not like stealing a joke. It's just adding more to some, I don't know. Is that cheating? Is that not?
Well, I think it depends on where it comes from. If it's like, if it comes from a place where you came up with it on your own yeah. and then but you're worried that it'll seem like you're stealing from someone else because they came up with it too mm-hmm. and then I don't think that is cheating. I think that's just creating the proper context for yeah. it that's unique into you.
Yeah,
that's what
I
would say.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying is that yeah. if somebody else has the exact same joke but I put that joke into a different context, you know, then yeah. it's not, I mean, people won't think of it as stealing.
Yeah, well, and if you didn't steal, like, if you, I mean, then you didn't steal yeah. that's the thing, is that it's almost like sometimes I try not to get offended if someone has stolen a joke of mine mm-hmm. because, not that that's happened yet, but someday maybe it will. Maybe I'll be good enough and someone will steal my joke. But, like, I won't, you know, it's like, well, it was good enough that someone stole it. And, oh, who said this? I think it was Rick Pulido that we were talking to. He quoted some other guy and he said that someone told him, probably someone famous or something, because he, like, knows all these people. Someone told him to always, the best way to deal with someone stealing jokes is just to always keep writing, because then you don't ever have to worry about
yeah.
that,
because yeah.
you just stay ahead of them, because they can't mm-hmm. write, which is why they're stealing jokes.
Yeah.
So that's something that's good. You've had your jokes stolen and performed.
My joke opened for Jim Gaffigan.
His joke opened for Jim Gaffigan.
Wow.
That's pretty.
I'd done open mic comedy for, like, maybe a month.
Yeah.
And I did a joke, and then I went and, like, hey, the Jim Gaffigan shows up.
Well,
so it was a couple of friends.
The opener for Jim Gaffigan, because otherwise it just sounds like you're making this up in your head and you're delusional. The opener for Jim Gaffigan was at that open mic that night.
Oh.
Okay, so now go.
I think.
Oh, now you just think.
I don't know
if he
was
now he's trying
there.
To backtrack.
What?
I don't.
I
come on, own up
there.
To it.
All I know is, I don't know how he got the joke. All I know is I was sitting there with a couple of my other comedian friends, and this guy starts telling this joke, and my friend just goes, holy shit. And he looks over at me, and he nudges me, and he's like, dude, that is your joke. I remember you coming up with it when we were driving to an open mic in the car.
Yeah.
And you've done it on stage. And I was just like, wow. And he got right to the very end and he changed the punchline. So it wasn't his joke, really. And then when he told it, he changed the punchline and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And the whole thing just was silence.
So he might not have even been there.
Someone might have been there to take it for him or recorded it.
I think that's a little loose though, Baby Pumpkin. I thought he was there. Sorry.
Baby Pumpkin. I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything. I don't care.
But you know what matters? This is what matters, is that the joke that you came up with opened for Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's pretty good.
Don't cry, baby.
It gets more, it's actually a funny, it's not a very funny joke, but now it's funnier that it's got a story behind it.
Yeah. This joke once opened for Jim Gaffigan. Not me. Could you put that on your resume? One of my jokes.
My jokes unofficially.
And that may not have even been stolen from me, but still a joke I came up with once.
Now let me clear this up. I did not write a joke for Jim Gaffigan. I wrote a joke that a comedian then stole and was the opener for Jim Gaffigan. All right, just making sure.
Put
just
an
making
asterisk. Sure.
This is her story. She started this.
I did. It's my fault. I brought it up because I thought it was funny and I thought it was a little bit different than how
we
it
could,
is.
Yeah, he was there, sitting there, front row. He had notes. He was like watching me and shit.
Better.
Is that better?
Had a camera and a microphone. And
well, in that
it
case,
just feels real now.
Could I say
after
that
the show, he pointed at me like this, heading out the door.
Could I then say that I wrote for Amy Schumer because my one joke?
You could, yeah. Yeah.
No, because
let's just be fast and loose with our resume.
The joke that I did was it was verbatim, and there's no way I've never heard anyone else say.
Yeah, verbatim's like it. Different. Common premise is one thing. Verbatim is a whole nother story. Yeah. That I mean, it really is.
Yeah, if it's word for word.
That's the thing with the other thing is it was word for word. That's the difference. That's it. This is the difference.
I think so. I quit doing the joke for a while. And then until I heard I was at an open mic in L.A. and somebody was complaining, hey, man, I just heard somebody telling your joke down at the other bar. And the other comedian was all pissed off. Well, I'm going to go down there and kick his ass. And they're all about ready to fight over it. So wow. I was like,
jeez,
I was hosting and I got up and went, well, all right, let's tell stories about stolen jokes. So I just started all of a sudden it became this whole thing. And
wow.
What's the joke? Do you want to tell us the joke?
Tell the joke.
Sure. I was at a bar the other night, and I called a woman the C word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Usually you get a gasp. I like, I know. I mean, usually you would think if you called a woman a cougar, that would be a compliment. I know, and I think, you know, women are lucky. They have all these sexy nicknames and stuff like cougars and milfs and puma. I think we should steal milf as men. I could be your milf. Man, I'd like to fellatio.
Yeah, there you go.
I would be your MILF.
There you go, baby pumpkin.
Yeah.
And right at the end, the guy goes, I would be your silverback gorilla instead of MILF. And it didn't work.
Oh, because he had to be clean because of Jim Gaffigan.
I don't know. But
no, I mean, that would be why.
I'd be your silverback gorilla. What? Why would you say that? I don't.
That's funny.
Silverback gorilla.
So there we go. That's the stolen joke
story. And that was
story.
A joke that you wrote like a few weeks into doing comedy.
The first couple weeks I did comedy.
Stand-up comedy.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just, you know, putting that out there. It's pretty funny, though.
It's pretty brilliant, if you ask me. I mean, should supersede most everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's totally
his humility
universal.
Is yeah,
people love my good looks, my genius intelligence, and my super humility.
Your super humility.
Well, okay. Here's a test in humility. What is the worst gig you've ever had?
Ooh.
Where were we last night?
No.
Actually, last night was really good. I loved that crowd.
Yeah.
People love your room, by the way.
Oh,
it's a really fun room.
Oh, God, yes. Everybody comes through. It says it's an absolutely amazing room. Everybody calls it an East Coast room.
It is. Well, that's what I was thinking in New York because of the low ceilings and it's kind of an underground and it's kind of more intimate. I really like it. It reminded me of New York, actually. Yeah, I liked it.
Best worst gig, I think, are probably both in the same thing.
Ooh.
What are they?
The very first time I ever performed outside of an open mic, we did like this bringer showcase, and nine of us opened for Tom Arnold in a 700 seat theater.
Wow. But it's
there
Tom
was
Arnold.
Going 500. Well, I only had, they were like, okay, you do 7 minutes.
Uh-huh. And it was packed. Though,
and it was, there was 500 people.
Yeah, I was not.
It's the largest audience I've ever performed to now, since, or whatever. But right before I went out, they're like, hey, we told you 7. Do 5. All right, go.
Whoa.
And I'd never done it before. I could
self-edit.
And
you've only been doing comedy for like
3 months, maybe.
Wow, it's too early.
So
for that.
I'm just like standing in the lights, and it's like, and you have a little bit of a joke, and you hear this huge roar of laughter. But I mean, it wasn't like it should have been, but it was like the worst because I was like in front of all these people, just sucking balls,
totally not ready
doing comedy for the first time.
I know you would kill for like 700.
Oh, people now I would die for that.
Yeah. I know.
And the other best worst would be like. I was in L.A. and I was kind of working at the Ha Ha Comedy Cafe Club, kind of helping out, more of like trying to get a job. So I was hanging out late with the manager and the owner and just putting chairs up, and like 4 drunk people came in and they wanted like, hey, give us drinks. So the owner was like, sure, come on in, I'll sell you drinks. And so they started selling drinks, and they're like, you guys are a comedy club, be a comedy show, come on. So the owner this is like at 2 a.m. and the owner didn't want to go home or something, so he loved karaoke, so he went in and turned the stage lights on and he started singing to the karaoke. And then he was like, all right, you guys, the manager and me, do some comedy for these guys. Doug, you open. So for me, I'm just like 4 people, 2 a.m, drunk people.
Oh, yeah.
And I got up there and did about 10, 12 minutes, probably the most stage time I'd gotten in forever. And I killed.
Yeah.
I was just with these four people hanging out, having a good time. And the best thing was, is the owner manager of the place was sitting right there also with these people watching, just laughing his ass off the whole time. And he never sits and watches anybody.
Yeah.
So it became like the worst scenario became the best, where so
best opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the most humility, humble.
Well, for me, it was fun because I'd never gotten to really perform.
It's a good story.
It's a good for me, killing, doing 5 minutes to four people.
That were drunk.
That were drunk. Yeah. It just was. It just felt good to me.
No, it did. I'm just saying, it wasn't like my worst gig was like tear inducing, I think. Like, I cried after.
No.
But that happens a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
It's just normal.
Tell us the story.
Yeah. Like sex.
Well, it was also my first show outside of open mics. I just started and I thought I was the shit. And I was moving. Okay, this is how bad. This is how delusional I was, just to put it out there. I've only been doing comedy for a few months. Open mics at a super supportive venue in North Carolina, the Nut Street Theater, Nut Street Comedy Club in Wilmington. And it's super supportive. And I was the only girl and everyone was so supportive that I thought I was amazing. And all my friends would come and laugh and like, you know, your friends tell you all these things like you're the best. So I decided I was going to move to New York City to pursue my dream of being a comedian. And I thought within a few months I would be famous. And right before I left, someone gave me my first gig. It was like a paid gig. I was going to get paid like $50 and a steak dinner.
Ooh.
I know. And I was like, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
So there was like a clean.
It starts today.
There was like a clean show and a dirty show. And it was like this little town out in the middle of the sticks of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to go to this theater there. And I'm driving in the car. I carpooled with two of the – there was the headlining comedian. It was a female and another girl. It ended up being a kind of like all-female show, mm-hmm. which is why they snagged me, because there was no other – honestly, the reason they hired me is there's just no other women at that comedy club. So it was the, all they had. So we all go up there. And on the way – there's this comedian and she's like won all these awards and her and her friend are working out what material they're going to do and creating a set list. And they're like, well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just going to wing it. I'm like, I'm just going to wing it. It's fine. They're like, are you sure you want? I'm like, yeah, I just usually wing it. It's fine. I don't like to write stuff down. I don't want to be bogged down. It's fine. They're like, really? I know. You just see where this is going, don't you? So then we get there and there's a huge theater. It also is about 700 people theater, but there was about five people, six maybe, in the audience of this theater. And then they had like another girl who was from that town that was going to get up, and she'd never done stand up before, and she was going before me. And I was like, oh, she's just going to bomb, and then I'll get up there. And so she goes up there, and the the few people that were there were all of her friends, and she was actually really funny. Mm-hmm. And so they like clapped and laughed, and I'm like, this is awesome. I'm going to go out there, and dead silence, like nothing. There was no laughter. There was not even a smile. There was some head shakes of disappointment. And it was like this huge crowd, like
empty theater. This is my career.
And I was like, and I could just feel the other comedians in the back being like, we told us so. We told her she should. There's no riffing. It was horrible. So then I get off stage and I'm crying. And the headliner, she was so sweet. She was like holding me. She's like, it's going to be okay. You needed to bomb. Everyone needs to bomb. Because I hadn't bombed it. So I thought I was like the best. And I was leaving the next day for New York City to be this amazing comedian.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
But now the interesting fact that you're leaving out is that girl that went before you was named Amy Schumer.
And that's how she met Amy. Stole her joke.
Oh my goodness. I wish that was true.
I know, right? How awesome would that
be? Let's just say it is.
Let's pretend.
And then here we are years down the road. She's got her own TV show and you're in an Econo Lodge in Bend, Oregon.
She's only funny because she stole your jokes.
Well, the best part. That is awesome.
That was it. She was writing that one joke
the whole time.
Entire
she was
that's
riding
what got
them
her.
Down. That's exactly right, Ryan. You've nailed it. I didn't want to say anything, but that's what happened. Actually, the best part of the whole thing is I went to New York and I was shocked when I got there, because this is how New York City works, is people don't usually start comedy there. They wait till they're like the biggest fish in their small pond of wherever they're from, and then they've been doing it for like 8 years or 10 years, and then they come to New York. So then I got there and I was doing open mics, and people would come up to me and ask, how long have you been doing comedy? And at first I was honest and I was like, oh, you know, like 6 months. They're like, why are you here? Like, why?
Like, so you're on vacation right
now? Yeah, they're like, I'm like, no, I moved here. I sold everything.
To do comedy.
Like, good luck. And then, so then I felt bad. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to lie. I'll just lie. So then I was like, people would ask, and I'd be like, I've been doing, you know, like 5-6 years. And they'd be like, why are you so bad still?
Yeah. See, that's the catch 22 is that, like, in order to get gigs, no matter how bad you are, in order to get gigs, you have to be doing it for a certain amount of time. So,
and even if you're really bad, if it's been a long time, sometimes you can get gigs.
Yeah, exactly. That so, I mean, sucks. Like, if it's me and somebody else and we're working together and we are at the same level of comedy and I'm honest and say, oh, I've been doing it for 4 years, and then he lies and says, I've been doing it for 8 years, he's going to get the gig, right?
Kind of, but who's funniest wins throughout the
life. Oh, in the end, yes.
He may get the gig, but then he'll suck balls, like, and they won't use him again. Yeah, he's not ready.
See, that's the catch, is that for the person.
Yes.
Like, if they lie and say that they've been doing it longer than they have, yes, they'll get the gig. But at the end of the gig, people will be like, how are you so bad after so long?
Which is what happened to me in New York. Honestly. And I was gone through I had such a horrible time there because I wasn't ready to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, in so many levels, you know, I didn't come with enough money. I just sold everything and flew there with no job and
no friends or people to stay with.
And I don't have a college degree, even though I have a lot of experience. So I couldn't even get a day job, I think, at all, because they're like, where's your master's degree? And I was like, I don't even have a bachelor's degree. I'm like, in the West Coast, people, we don't sometimes have bachelor's degree. And they're like, trailer park scum. So I couldn't get a job. I actually had
dancer for money.
Right? I couldn't even do that. I don't
such
have
such a tiny dancer.
Yeah, so it didn't work. So I was like, I will leave. But we're actually going back to New York, or going back for me. We're going to New York soon, so it'll be kind of like full circle for me. We'll see how it goes. But
in the appropriate amount of time to wait now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're ready.
Now I'm ready to do 5 minutes at open mic in New York City.
Jeez. Well, and see, I think that ties into kind of the different steps of comedy. Like, the first step is just wanting to do it. Just start writing, getting in there.
Yeah.
Second step is getting on stage and doing that. And then the third step is just doing the first two steps and then just outlasting your peers.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is, like we were saying, in the end, the funniest one will win. Like, they will get the gig. And that's really all you have to do until you can get to that point where you can go to New York. And one of the reasons why most people don't last that long is because they try to force themselves into the next step long before they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, going to New York after 6 months
was not appropriate.
And you didn't know better. I mean,
I didn't, but I had so many warnings.
Yeah.
So many of the comedians, like, there's some comedians from New York that were there, like, just don't do it.
But you were different and special, and you were going to be better than everybody.
A unique little flower.
Yeah, just like everybody else.
But I do have to say, when I got a laugh in New York, whenever I would get one,
it really felt good.
Oh man, it felt good, because it was real. You know what I mean? There was no pandering. I had no friends. It was real laugh. And they don't laugh at even stuff that I would laugh at. A lot of audiences in New York, they're like, not funny enough for me to laugh.
Well,
refuse to crack a smile. So that was huge. And it helped me realize what I need to change. I just saw a video of myself the other day from my first week of doing stand-up comedy.
Did you cry?
Kind of. It was like a 5-minute video, and I did one joke, and it wasn't even that funny, but it was 5 minutes of setup for one really sad little joke. Yeah. So I was like, wow, I've come a long ways.
So you've made a little progress.
A little.
Just small.
But it's amazing to see that progression of not giving up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a friend who I'm trying to get into comedy, but he is actually a part-time pastor.
Really?
Yeah. So all of his jokes are extremely clean. But as a pastor, he's used to taking one little line from the Bible and stretching that out into half an hour.
Right.
So he does a really good job of filling up stage time. And he's got really good punchlines, but he will go for about 5 minutes before he gets to a punchline that's just not worth the time.
Maybe that was my problem, because I used to do church stuff too.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. I think radio DJs sometimes, not all the time, obviously, but the ones that do like talk radio, that their job is just to fill time.
Yeah.
When they do stand up, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Where there's just a lot of talky talk.
Well, and Juan, who you guys met last night, I think he'll be there tonight.
He's so funny.
He's funny.
Yeah. He's so
he
funny.
Actually got his start doing public speaking, like motivational speaking stuff like
really?
That. Yeah. Sales and whatnot. And then went into comedy, as where with the rest of us, it's you like start with comedy and go the other way.
Right.
Yeah. So he knows how to speak. He knows how to be on stage and everything like that. So it was just getting him into the mindset of a comedian rather than a public speaker.
How long has he been doing comedy?
Since May.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's going to be solid then.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's doing a really good job. I mean, at this point, he is falling into the same thing that I was just like 2 months ago, is that both of us have a whole lot of material. It's just that as soon as we, of course, it might have been my mistake because I told him to go on stage one night without any sort of a set list. And when you get up there without a set list, you just do the same 10 minutes that works, that you know for a fact works.
Right.
You will get laughs every single time, except you're using the same 10 minutes over and over again. And I do these shows that I do here in Bend, like it's the same, it's Bend. It's always in Bend. So you can't do that. And Juan and I are at a point right now where we have to train ourselves to take a set list back up there and redo jokes and train ourselves to do jokes that we haven't done in a while or new jokes. Mm. So, I mean, it's a fear. I mean, it's fear of trying out new material and the comfort of doing jokes you know for a fact will get laughs.
Mm.
So it's...
That's hard, especially when you don't have an open mic here. And so this is the only
place. Well, we have two open mics here.
Oh, you do?
And which I think is awesome. And
that is awesome.
With what Tony and I are doing, all these amateur comedians just starting out, coming in, easiest career path that they will ever have or ever any comedian will ever see, because we put on shows and we deliberately put local people to open the shows.
Yeah.
So we will actually go out, find comedians and tell them, hey, would you like to come do an actual show? So we are going out to find them and like giving them
that is amazing.
Yeah, they're getting opportunities. They don't even really realize it or appreciate it, probably.
Exactly. And I try to say this to them as often as possible because, where did you get your start?
I started in Maui, Hawaii.
Okay.
At an open mic.
And how difficult was it to get on the list of the open mic?
Relatively easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maui.
If you wanted to sign up, you just could get on.
Okay.
If you signed up ahead of time.
Was it just a comedy open mic or was it comedy music?
You know, the venue wanted to do an open mic, but it was such a low population density area that there were so few people there that if you had four or five people signed up, they were stoked.
Mm-hmm.
Because the show wouldn't go on unless they had enough people sign up. So it wasn't – and it was like the only one. It was once a week, and I had to drive 45 minutes each way to get to it.
Mm-hmm. Which is the farthest distance you can drive in Hawaii.
Pretty much. I lived at one end and had to drive completely to the other end.
For reals.
Seriously. But I did that. That's where I got my start. But I've gone to places where I did open mics in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
where you sign up to be lottery or you just sign your name up and hopefully they've seen your name enough times signed up, they'll let you in.
Mm-hmm.
Some places charge you $5 for 5 minutes.
New York charges,
it's a drink. Yeah, you're buying the drink, but if you don't buy the drink, you don't get the 5 minutes.
Or you just pay $5 or more. I mean, depending for 3 minutes. I mean, so when you're in an area like this where you can get stage time, they have no idea how amazing it is.
Exactly.
Like in Maui, we did an open mic that we were part of a group that started open mic, and they still run it without us, obviously, because they don't, you know, whatever. But
we're not there.
Because we're not there, exactly. So they, as far as I know, I mean, we had a lot of people there that would come, like real audiences to this open mic on Maui. And great talent. And they had a friend that went to their open mic from Portland. And she said there was like 80 people there just to see the open mic. And it's like comedians there, I don't know if they realize how amazing that is to have an audience full of real people. And then just to be able to put your name on a list and know you're going up.
Well, and see, Portland's artsy fartsy enough that people will do that. They appreciate the art of, well, performance art. They appreciate performance art in general to want to go be a part of that and see it. Because even if people people yeah. bomb horribly, it's still artistic expression sort of video.
It's a good story to see, yeah. yeah.
And we were talking about open mics, but yeah, what I was saying earlier is about how easy our comedians here in Bend have it. By the way, if anybody's listening, come to Bend, do comedy here. It's fun.
It's easy.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we're trying to build a community so the more people come out, it'll become more competitive as time goes
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
But we have an open mic, and if anybody's listening from there, I'm not bad-mouthing it whatsoever. I think it's an absolutely amazing opportunity of real life for comedians. It's called the Astro Lounge, and every Monday they have an open mic, and it's comedy and music, anybody who wants to sign up. There's a guy who whistles. That's what he does. He gets on stage for 5 minutes and whistles to music.
I can bring that back now.
Yes,
you can do
exactly.
it. Exactly.
And he will sometimes, if somebody's just playing guitar and not singing, he will jump up there and whistle while they're playing. Oh, God.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's so helpful.
Wow. But there's a guy that plays like the steel drums and a couple people that just play the guitar.
So it's like an open talent showcase more than yeah, it is kinda. Per se comedy only.
In fact, it's not even that. It's something going on in the corner while people are drinking. And this is what I love about it is that there is other than the two booths at the very, very back of the bar, there's one couch off to the side that all the comedians sit on. There is not a single seat in that place that faces the stage.
It is like real life.
Exactly.
You can do it here. You can do it anywhere.
That's where it gets better is that everybody, the entire bar is at the opposite end. So everybody's sitting at that. And then all of the tables off to the other side are all facing each other. So you have to make a special effort to look at the stage if you're an audience member. And nobody in the audience is there to, unless they're performing in the open mic, nobody is actually there to see the open mic.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly.
This is perfect.
So that's why I love this place, and I hope that they keep doing it, because all of our comedians that it's easy for, this gives them some sort of real life experience as to what is going on. And it's just ridiculous, but I love it. This last week when I went up there, nobody was paying attention to the open mic. Nobody was paying attention to it. And I was able to convince three brand spanking new comedians. George, who you guys met.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny.
And he, yeah. God damn it, he got on stage last night and was a little too cocky. He has never been cocky before on stage, but he's been doing so well, and we're all telling him how well he's doing. Then now he's going up there way too confident, because that's not his persona. He's supposed to be awkward. Quiet.
You're supposed to be awkward. This confidence is upsetting
exactly.
all of us.
You're not funny anymore.
Yeah.
Tone it down.
Yeah.
He's funny, though.
And then we had another kid who's really young, just started doing comedy. And then a comedian who kind of was a hobbyist at one point, and he was just now coming back. I was able to convince him to come back. And the guy who runs it, I was talking to him saying, yeah, we can't have comedian like dispersed out between 8 and midnight, because once we get past like 9 o'clock, like nobody is paying attention whatsoever. So I was like, if you can get us up there by 8:30 at the latest and just let all the comics go, we'll be really quick.
Way better.
Exactly.
They're in the mode for comedy. Yeah. yeah.
So I went up there for the first time without the thought of, I want to make people laugh. I went up there and I decided I was going to spend my entire time getting the attention of the audience for the other comedians. So I went up there and I told my dirtiest jokes. I have never cussed so much in my entire life in a 5-minute period without actually having physical pain inflicted on me. But yeah, and I actually got people's attention. Like, people were paying attention, and I felt so accomplished for not telling jokes, but just getting people's attention for the comedians that were going up there. And the other comedians went up, and they did a pretty good job. And I guess now that I say that out loud, I kind of took away the whole real life experience that they need to get from that venue.
But they'll get
yeah.
it enough throughout life.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll, I mean, it was a challenge for myself. And I've never been in a situation where I had to get everybody's attention. I've never had one of those gigs in like a crappy bar where like the owner will get up on the mic and be like, all right, we're going to turn off this sports TV directly behind me that everybody's watching
for this guy to stand up.
So that this guy can stand here and try to make you laugh. Like, I don't think I've ever been in that situation until Astro Lounge, open mic at Astro Lounge.
Wow.
And I mean, even then, until this last week, I would go up there, and the idea is that we have two open mics. The Astro Lounge, which for a comedian is just an opportunity to get behind a mic and hear your jokes out loud.
Mm-hmm.
We have another one at River Rim Coffee House that does a it starts earlier and it's a coffee house. So it's a community and it's the same one dozen people every week. I mean, they'll bring people whenever they can, but they are so supportive and so happy to have anybody there performing anything.
Nice.
That they are specifically there to watch the open mic.
That's wow. Perfect.
So whether they are performing
that's
or not.
Then.
Yeah, exactly. So you're getting the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. So that is the one where you're testing out the quality of the material. As where Astro Lounge is just saying it out loud. Getting on stage, getting stage time.
You used to do a lot of those in Maui because there's only one. When I actually got there,
there weren't
any open mics.
Yeah.
They'd stopped. And so
I started crashing a music open mic.
Yeah.
I went in by myself and I talked to the guy who was running it and I was like, can I get up and do some comedy? Just stand up for. It's like, how dirty are you? It's like, don't be too dirty. It's like, okay. I'll try and keep it clean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't too clean. He let me have some.
Clean. Let me have some. How did it go?
Well.
If you were the first comedian at this musical open mic.
I got up, and it was just about, like, Astro Lounge. Mm-hmm. People were like, all of a sudden the music stopped, and there was some guy talking. And they all are used to just talking still at the bar and drinking and talking. Everyone's at their tables, and no one will. And you might get a couple people listening. Mm-hmm. But. The first time I went up, it sucked. It was terrible. It was like, this is blows. And then it was like, well, it's the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
So then it was like, well, I better come up with some shit that I can get their attention.
Yeah.
You did, too.
So I came up with a joke, and I use it. It's my fallback all the time when there's a rowdy bar. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, excuse me. The bartender just announced to me that they're going to do a trivia question. And if you can answer the trivia question correctly, you could win free drinks at the bar. All night.
Mm-hmm.
Silence.
Aww.
Every time.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, you guys listening? You ready? All right. So I've been eating bacon for a month. And if you can tell me if my semen tastes like bacon, you could win free drinks at the bar all night.
Oh my God.
I'll be right over here by the bathrooms.
That is so good.
And it gets their attention. So if you want to do a, hey, free drinks and come up with something, you can use that.
Yeah.
And it works. It still works to this day. Yeah. Like in Idaho Falls, it worked. It works.
I used it a couple weeks ago.
You did. And it
works. The funniest part, though, is when I do that joke now and she's sitting in the audience and to hear the people's reaction.
Yeah.
One time there was two girls sitting in the back right before she goes up. And one girl looks to the other and she's like, oh, I'll tell him what it tastes like.
This is
and Teresa's like,
started dating him, I should say. We were married. Now I just laugh about it. But I just started dating him, and I was about to go on stage. And, yeah. And I was like, it was new. It was newer. So I was like, all like,
that's mine. It's mine.
I own it. Not yet. And so I don't really remember this happening, but apparently when I went on stage, I started with, and this was like a show, mind you. This wasn't an open mic. This was an actual like people paid to come show. And I started my set with, that's my boyfriend.
And you won't taste his bacon.
And you won't taste it. And it does taste like bacon.
That was her opener.
Yeah, that was probably the best set I've ever done. Thankfully, it was just a 10-minuter. It was a lot like this kind of thing, actually, where we would have headliners come in and stuff, and then we would get to do like 10 minutes before. And that's actually was awesome for us. It was very similar. Like for a while, we didn't have an open mic, so the only time we got on stage was at a show, and so it was all people that were paying to see comedy. We had to do our best.
Mm-hmm. The other time, though, was in Idaho Falls. I told that joke, and there was some guy sitting
that's
there.
Right. That is really funny.
Some guy sitting there. He's like, what did he say? You were the one.
Well, he was – the funny thing is this guy was, like, kind of annoying the whole thing. Like, he was just
back to us, talking to his friend the whole time.
Yeah. So Doug goes up there, and he does his thing. And I think I did my first 15 minutes first, and it was just, like, talking to – just trying to break through. It was okay. So he gets up there, and he does that joke. And the guy actually stopped for a second – like stopped like eating, but looked like he thought about it. And he's like, nah, it's not worth it.
Won't suck this dick.
And then
I'll buy my own beer.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, it's not worth it. I'll buy my own beer. But like he thought about it. Like it took him a second. Like he thought about it.
Hmm.
Which was awesome. And I told that to him like later that night after we got back. I'm like, oh, by the way. He's like, why didn't you tell me that then? Why didn't you tell me?
That was the guy I told the joke for. A guy who wasn't listening or anything.
Right? Yeah. Well, you made him listen. He thought about it.
Yeah. Well, and with hosting, I've come up with little things like that.
Right.
In order to quiet an audience, get everybody's attention, get the blood flowing. Get them into it. So if you can open a show like that, take every advantage, because even if there's just like two or three people in the back that aren't paying attention, you need to have their attention.
Well, the thing is that I didn't realize is I'd say that and then I'd get all their attention and then I'd start to do other stuff and they'd all just fade away.
Yeah.
So then I was like, shit, now I got to hold their attention too.
Yeah.
So it was a growing process, and then I invited Teresa. I'm like, yeah, it's a great venue. Oh, I love gosh. It. Come down. And she's like,
this is horrible.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah.
And then after that, we made our own.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, and if you ever go to Maui, they have, and you're a comedian, they have an amazing open mic, and then they have monthly big shows too. But yeah, lots of talented people there for sure. And their open mic is so supportive. I mean, it's extremely supportive environment. And yeah, so if you're in Maui, Power Up Comedy, Stella Blue still, I think. Mm-hmm. They're really great. If you're on vacay and you're like, I'm going to get some sun and get on a mic.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
we're at an hour and a half now. We usually aim for an hour, but we've been sitting here having so much fun talking.
It's been fun.
Yeah. I'm just worried, what time are we supposed to go?
We got plenty of time.
Yeah, we still have 2 hours.
The thing doesn't start until what?
Eight.
Eight?
Oh. 8 o'clock every Friday at Summit.
He's the, in the partnership of us as comedians.
I wear the watch.
He wears the watch.
Yeah.
On stage and in life. He's the watch wearer.
Well, see, I wear enough watches for everybody.
Right? So. You have the fancy watch that you want.
Why do you have two watches?
Look, it's the one you want. It's the fancy.
Is one like your phone?
This is, no, I don't have the phone watch yet.
Oh, okay.
This one's an iPod. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
It's like the nano thing.
Yeah.
Is that wireless?
I have a wireless adapter that I use sometimes. Otherwise, I have a cord running.
It's like music and.
Yeah. So whenever people see a wire going down my arm, the first question is like, do you have like diabetes or something? Is that like a tester?
No, what was that?
His dream is to have like a watch that the phone and
yeah, I want one of those. In fact, one of our comedians might be there tonight, has one of those.
Well, you could steal it. He's really good at theft.
Yeah.
What?
Do a little sleight of hand. Just
a sleight of hand.
Just jokes from you.
Well, tell you what, we're having a good time talking. If we get drunk after the show, we'll come back and we'll do more podcasts.
That sounds fun. Yeah, we could do more tonight.
Excellent.
Yeah. We're actually, there's a blizzard. Did you hear about this?
Coming in?
Yeah. Well, I don't think Ben necessarily, but like the pass.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay and hang out in Ben tomorrow. Okay. Yeah.
Well, cool.
And so we won't have any place to drive to.
Yeah, there you go.
Be up late.
Woo!
Bring the other comedians over. We'll see what happens.
Oh, it's always a shit show. But so now we're getting up on 2 hours, even though we tried to leave. So there might be a sequel to this, a special bonus podcast. But let's do some plugs.
All right.
The He-She Show.
Yeah, the He-She Show. In Billings, Montana, it's the He-She Show.
Bring your bras and corsets, fellas.
It's the He-She Show. No, it's the He and She Show, and you can check us out on theheandsheshow.com. We do – our touring show is basically about a half an hour of us each doing our stand-up individually.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of get to know who we are as people without each other, because we're our own person.
Yeah.
And then we get up on stage.
Or at least you'd like to think so.
At least I hope I still am.
She keeps telling us we are.
Oh, that was beautiful. And then the second hour is like us together up there doing jokes together, which is fun and new for us, and then taking marriage advice.
Mm-hmm.
Or 45 minutes. I mean, depending. We don't want to exhaust people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do, and we do it all over the country. And actually, I should say this, since we're plugging this, and this might actually – we're booking right now across the country, Portland, Oregon, to Portland, Maine tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a three-month-plus-long tour starting in July of 2014.
It's like 63 dates.
63,
all 48 states.
All 48 lower states. We're not adding Hawaii or Alaska to this one.
Nah.
And then we'll be in Hawaii in February. We're going to be all over – But yeah, that one we're really excited about, taking awesome. It to the streets.
So heshi.com.
Heshi.com.
The he and she
actually,
show.
We don't know what's going to be.
Don't Google that
don't
one.
Don't Google that one. It's the he and
no, don't
she
even Google
show.
It. Just type it in. Goes directly yes. there. It'll, yeah.
He and she show at xnxx.com.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Google it.
Google it. The he and she show.com or just the he and she show if you get confused.
Or,
and
or
take
Teresa
you
Wyckoff.
Oh, I have a new last name.
Or Doug Wyckoff.
Or Doug Wyckoff.
And we're also on Facebook.
Or pathetic couple doing stand-up together. And I'm sure our names will come up.
Oh, yeah.
Just Google
pathetic
that.
Pathetic couple.
Google pathetic couple.
Comedy
stand-up.
Couples.
Comedy.
Just we trust.
She's been really working on that one there. She's trying to get that up.
Yeah.
On the SEO search.
Actually,
engine.
It got up there faster than all the others. I don't know why.
It was easy.
It was like it was already there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could also type in, you know, pathetic or what is it? Pathetic hilarious couple, and you'd get Kanye
yes.
and Kim. So,
right,
yes.
yeah, don't
yeah.
do that then.
Bah, topical.
But I have bam.
Twitter?
Are we on
Twitter?
Oh, yeah, I think I still have a Twitter. I'm trying to get back into Twit and do a tweet. Yeah. For women, isn't it called twatter? Isn't that
twatter.
No?
Wouldn't
is
you
that
twat? Not past tense is twat, yeah.
Yeah, twat. I don't know why that people don't use
wouldn't
that more often. I twatted earlier. What's yeah. that's the correct tweeted?
Wait a minute,
tweet
I just did you say I heard something?
You say you had twat.
I.
So you're saying she has a twat?
I've twat.
She's twatted with her twat?
I can only assume.
Well, we have our individual tweets, mm-hmm. tweeters, twitters, which is mine is, oh gosh, I'm really bad at this. I don't know. I'm usually really good
welcome
at this
back
stuff.
To you.
Yes.
What's yours?
Doug Wyckoff. At Doug Twitter, Wyckoff. I think.
It's Twitter, Doug Wyckoff. Doug Wyckoff. Yeah.
We do more of the W-Y-C-K-O-F-F. Facebook, which feeds to the Twitter, which is sad.
Which is because I like
we're
Twitter.
So old
well, I like
pathetic.
Twitter so much better than Facebook in so many ways.
Yeah.
We're on Instagram.
Instagram.
And
it's just Doug Wyckoff. That's my Twitter.
Just, I think it's the same for me. Actually, my Twitter is Teresa Wyckoff. I think
I thought Doug
name.
Wyckoff was your same Twitter too.
No, it's Mrs. Doug Wyckoff.
That's right.
Because I have lost all identity. That's why I didn't know. Teresa Wyckoff. But yeah, if you just Google our names or the He and She Show, there's okay. lots of fun stuff. Mailing lists, CDs.
Right
who
on.
Knows? Porn pornography, maybe
ooh.
Someday soon.
Oh,
just
yeah.
the secret
have you guys
stuff.
Ever thought about like
a secret
you
sex
have
tape?
Your DVD, right?
Yeah.
The show that you guys
yeah.
did. So have you like another DVD?
Well, at the end of yeah. that one, there's actually a 5-minute video. You have to secretly load it.
The funny thing about that was it's like a clean, super clean PG show. Audio version.
Yeah.
And then there's the 5-minute sexy
and
time
then,
clip at the
and
end.
Just for
so you got to get
case.
The disc to
yeah.
see it.
Made
though.
Sure to give my father a copy.
Invested in the night vision.
Right.
He yeah. was filming, so mm-hmm. he got a copy.
You know, Doug tried to convince me once, and I was like, I'm not going to do porn. Like, he was like, we should videotape. I'm like, I don't know if I can trust you well enough. I don't want to end up on the internet. And he's like, don't worry. Like, even really hot chicks can't sell their stuff on the internet anymore. They have to give it away for free. So
yeah.
you're fine.
Yeah. So, no, it's not. Not worth the non-money that we would probably get.
Yeah.
And I have no assets for that. And neither does he, for that matter.
Yeah.
What?
Well, see, back
I'm just kidding. You're fine.
Back in 2006, when I started my production company, I made a promise to myself that I would go 10 years, and if I wasn't as successful with my production company as I wanted to be, I'd start making porn.
So has it been 10 years?
No. We're about halfway there.
Ooh,
yes.
So it's like 5 years. We
yeah.
may need to talk to you if we decide that we are the state
yes.
where all
what
we
kind
decide.
Of porn are you going to do?
You know, whatever the calling is.
There's lots of niches out there.
There is.
Should we list them off?
There's.
Fortunately, I feel like you know too much about this.
Oh, that reminds me of another bit I'm going to do tonight.
Lots of research God. Is important if you're going to do a business.
All right. So I'm going to do 2 jokes tonight, and they're all going to be brand new.
Awesome.
Look at him
yeah.
go. He's on a roll.
And that's going to be my entire 5 minutes. Those 2 jokes.
He's writing them down now.
Yeah. All right. So anything else to plug? Did we get that?
I think that's
I
it.
Think we're good.
Okay.
Just and plug bencomedy.com. You guys are awesome.
Oh, bencomedy.com.
Yeah.
Bencomedy.com. Come
yeah.
to bencomedy.com.
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 I've heard of bencomedy. I've been to the website a few times yeah. and I read the stories. There was a blog story that was intriguing
yeah.
about a woman and her vagina.
Is anyone going to actually listen to this for like 2 hours worth?
I doubt it.
End?
we're almost exactly at 2 hours. That's nope. We're gonna
done?
Cut it short. Nope. It's gonna be nope. We're gonna be less than 2 hours. That'll be.
Oh my God! You just farted.
I've been waiting this whole time.
Now
it's finally
we're done.
Off.
Now we're done.
Thank you everybody for listening.